Chapter 16, Acts chapter 16. This particular chapter, as I was reading through it here, is just so much, and I'm going to only be able to preach a segment of it. Basically, we'll be reading responsively in just a few minutes from 16 to 26, and then we'll probably be preaching through the end of that end of the chapter, I should say. But this particular story or account, if you will, is a remarkable story. And I look at it as an account of hope, an account of victory. And we're going to see two men in just a moment. We'll be reading about two men who were just simply doing right, and they got scourged and they got jailed, if you will, for the doing of right. And it may be here, someone here today, you're imprisoned, if you will, and because you're doing right, you're living right, and you got some pressure coming your way, and the devil doesn't like people doing right. You know, he doesn't care so much whether you're saved as long as you don't do anything for God. He knows he can't get your soul if you're saved. He knows that that he can't take you to hell with him, but boy, he'd like to do everything he can to cause the Christian life to be miserable to you. And we'll kind of see that here along the way today. Let's stand as we read verses 16 through 26 responsibly of Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And I'll be preaching on the subject, a prison of praise. A prison of praise. And we'll read responsibly. I'll read and then you read. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul in us, cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showeth unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Silas prayed and sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's hands were loosed. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you. And as we focus in upon this prison of praise this morning, men of God making a tough situation into a place of praise, I pray, God, that we also, in the imprisonment of life, different circumstances, the different toughnesses, difficulties, if you will, that we go through, I pray, God, that we too would learn how to be able to make it a time of praise. And I pray, Lord, that we take this simple formula from these men of God here in the Bible and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I've said for the last few weeks, I've preached a few messages on prayer and praise and thankfulness in the last, two, 3 weeks anyways, and I'm kind of still on that subject a little bit, and I'll probably have a couple more messages. I know this afternoon I'm going to divert a little bit and preach a little bit on Thanksgiving, so to speak, and then maybe another time as well, especially on the Thanksgiving service. But again, as I said earlier, this is a great story of hope. It's a great story of victory here. Let me start out with this particular illustration that I came across. Having lost in a fire virtually everything they owned, the Spafford family made new plans, including to move from Chicago to France. Horatio Spafford planned the trip for his wife and four daughters to be as trouble-free as possible. To transport them from America to France, he booked passage on a huge ship and made sure they had Christians with whom to fellowship en route. He planned to join them a few weeks later. In spite of much careful preparation, Mr. Spafford's plan suddenly dissolved when the ship carrying his loved ones was rammed by another vessel and sank, carrying his four beloved daughters to the bottom. His wife arrived in Wales safely 9 days later and telegraphed her husband the awful news that all four of their children had drowned. Spafford left Chicago to go and bring his wife home. As they crossed the Atlantic, the captain came and told him when they were passing over the spot where his daughters had died. And at that place, Horatio Spafford took a pen and paper and wrote these words while passing over the spot where his daughters perished. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Think of the great faith of Horatio Spafford. He wrote that great song that I love to sing, It Is Well With My Soul. God took the worst prison of this man's life and he made it a prison of praise to him. And I also see in this text the same with two great men of God who preached the gospel, who were in the will of God, whom God, the Holy Spirit, diverted them, if you will, took them and diverted them to go to Asia. Paul and Silas were going to go off to Asia, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, 6, that the Holy Spirit forbid them. I got thinking about that, a little food for thought. Had they gone to Asia, had God allowed them to go to Asia, it probably would be that Asia and all them countries over there would have the freedoms that we enjoy right now. Okay, that's a little food for thought. And it could be that, because following the Holy Spirit's lead, okay, God forbid them for whatever reason to go to Asia. And of course, today, Asia has a lot of difficulties and there's a lot of third world countries and different things over there. But as a result, they came to modern day Europe as a result. And of course, from Europe, Great Britain, and Great Britain, of course, England, if you will, helped spread the gospel, not just to England, but also to America. And you know, that's just a little bit of history, a little bit of food for thought there. And I certainly thank God for that. If that is the case, and God, of course, has a reason to go ahead and do that, I thank God that we have the freedoms that we enjoy. But here, because God or the Holy Spirit forbid Paul and Silas to go into Asia, they went ahead and, you know, Paul and Silas would want to do whatever God wanted them to do, and wherever God sent them to preach, they were going to go ahead and do. But so God, of course, sent them to Philippi. Philippi is the picture of God's will here. So when I talk about Philippi this morning, that is God's will, okay? A lot of events happened to Paul and Silas in Philippi. This passage finds Paul and Silas in a difficult prison of oppression and suffering. In this prison, they experienced the great grace of God Almighty. Now, let me just stop and say this. You know what? There's three types of people here this morning. You are in a prison of pain and suffering. You are going through things right now that's maybe unspeakable, and you just don't understand it, and you're frustrated. But let me just say this. Just as God gave grace to Paul and Silas, he will, too, give grace to you in your prison this morning. It may be that you've just gotten out of the prison of pain and hurt and suffering. You know, and if you are out of it, thank God for his grace, because it was God that led you out of that pain and suffering, if you will. And it may be that you're fixing to head into a prison of pain and suffering. It happens to all of us eventually. Okay, I wish I could say that the Christian life is always going to be mountaintop, and I say it often, but it's not always going to be on a mountaintop. We are going to face some rough times. We're going to face some rough spots. We're going to face some difficulties, if you will. But no matter what you experience in your prison, you can always count on the grace of God to help you get through it. God's not a respecter of persons, and what he did for Paul and Silas, and what he did for Moses back in the Old Testament, what he did for Abraham, what he did for all that we read about in the Old Testament, what he's done for great Christians of old, great preachers of old, hey, he will go ahead and do it for you as well. You know what? His grace is extended to you as well. Why? Because he's not a respecter of persons. I want us to understand that God can take your pain and he can turn it into praise, if you will, for his glory, just as he did for Paul and Silas. So we're going to take a couple minutes here this morning and look at the prison of praise. Okay, what was it about this prison? Number one, as we read a while ago, it's a prison of misery. Okay, you know what? Prison is not the most glamorous place in the world. Now, sometimes you'll hear these people who get caught, you know, and they do things wrong simply because they want to go to prison. That's simply because they have no other place to go. But you know, but let me just say this. You know what? Prison is not a place of glory, if you will. It's not a place of glamour. It's not a place of where you can go ahead and shout and say, you know, it might be a little easier today. But as we'll describe this prison in just a moment, it was a place of misery. Okay, it's a place where one can be very miserable, if you will. This prison, no prison brings joy. But Paul, as we read a while ago in verses 16 through 24, you can kind of glance through it as I preach about it. But Paul and his company arrive in Philippi, which is the will of God, expecting great things to happen. You know what? When you're in the will of God, you know what? You don't have to sit there and say, well, you know, I'm in God's will. I don't know why he put me here. I don't think anything's going to happen. No, you go into the will of God by faith, and great things will happen. And we see the evidence of that here in Paul and Silas. But the Lord called them to this city, and they were going to go. They didn't go ahead and push against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as I mentioned a moment ago, forbid them to go into Asia. And so they went into the city of Philippi. God's will for Paul was further revealed when Lydia and others got saved. Okay, so here they came into Philippi. You can read that, 13 through 15. They met up with a lady, and she got saved. And as soon as the Lord started going ahead and giving them some fruit, as soon as God went ahead and gave them some excitement, if you will, because people are getting saved and they were following God's will. Boy, you know what? What happened? The old devil went ahead and poked his ugly head in. The old devil went ahead and poked his evil head in. And let me tell you something. The devil's not excited about Christians making any progress. He's not excited. Again, I said a moment ago, he doesn't care so much whether you're saved. He knows he can't get you saved. Once you're saved, you're sealed in the hand of God. Nobody can pluck you out. And you don't have to ever worry about going to hell if you sincerely ask Jesus to come to your heart. But let me tell you something. The devil will do everything he can to make God's will miserable. He'll do everything he can to hinder you from growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, what I'm trying to say, about the time that Paul and Silas were seeing some fruit and seeing some good things happen, well, you know what? All of a sudden, some oppression came. All of a sudden, some pressure came upon them. And if you ever, let me just say this, if you ever endeavor to do anything big for God, let me just go ahead and warn you right now. Be ready for an adversary. Be ready for some pressure. Be ready for some pushing from the old smutty face. You be prepared for trouble, if you will. I remember when I was in Bible college, you know, it took me 10 years to go ahead and complete a four-year course. Why? Because I'm not very smart. I'll just tell you that. But anyways, no, and that is a whole story there. I was not focused as I should be early on in years, but finally, you know what, my last 3 years I focused in and whatever, so, and I finished. But I'll tell you, my last year, I was in God's will. I was excited. I was, you know, God was using me in ministry, even at First Baptist Church and as part of Howells Aronson College as a student, seeing people saved and overseeing some ministries and so forth. I was loving every minute. But that last year, I should probably even narrow it down to about the last 6 months of my getting ready to walk across May 1998 and grab that diploma that I worked so hard for and getting it from Brother Hiles and so forth, walk across that platform. You know what? Within the 6 months of me doing that, boy, I tell you, things started happening. You know, the old devil wasn't excited about me eventually. I didn't necessarily know where I was going to go once I walked across the platform, but God knew that I was going to work 10 years at Faith Baptist Church, Calvary Baptist Church in Turner, Maine as an assistant pastor. God knew that I was going to have an influence of teenagers and seeing them grow up and serve the Lord. Many of them serve the Lord. God knew that I was going to see hundreds saved through that ministry, through the bus ministry and teen ministry and visitation, soul winning ministries. I got to take this off a little bit because I'm a little bit warm, but this is as far as I'll go, amen? But God knew that, and let me tell you something, and God knew where I was going to, I didn't necessarily know where I was going to go, but let me tell you something, the old devil, though, he didn't want me pastoring. He didn't want me to go on and serve the Lord. You know, in them last 3 years, and again, I don't want to take a whole lot of time because it takes my whole time, but them last years, 3 years, when I really focused in upon the will of God, some things happened in my heart. I said, you know what, I'm going to get in tune with God. I'm going to stay in tune with God. I'm going to keep on pressing on, and I know I'm going to face some battles, but let me tell you something. The battles didn't, as far as ministry, didn't really start happening until that last 6 months. I had a car accident. I had, you know, my finances, you know, devil was trying to play around. I think with my finances, trying to make more month and money and different things and trying to keep my school bill paid up so that I could walk across that platform. Hey, if I didn't have that last school bill paid, I don't get a diploma. I need to make sure. and illness and different things were just kind of coming in that last 6 months, if you will, to try to keep me from doing whatever it is. Hey, what I'm trying to say, God knew I'd be pastoring Faith Baptist one day, and let me tell you something, the devil would do anything he could, like he did in earlier years, to try to discourage me from going on. I thank God. You know what? I did quit college back yonder years ago when I was a younger man and so forth. I wasn't as focused, and I thank God that I didn't stay out of college. I thank God that in 95, he stirred my heart, and I finished up in 98. But anyways, I got to keep moving on. But you know what? Let me tell you something. If you endeavor to do anything big for God, you better be prepared. There's going to be some problems. There's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some oppression. There's going to be some adversary, if you will. But you know what? My God is bigger than the old devil. My God is stronger than the old devil. You know what? You got to do as Peter did. Get thee, the Bible says, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, he'll do everything he can to try to hinder you from trying to serve God. He'll do everything he can to try to hinder you from trying to raise your kids up for the Lord. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you got to go ahead and kick the old smutty face. Hey, God's much more stronger, and God will give you much grace, if you will, to get through it. Hey, you know what? What is it about that? You know what? You might be in that imprisonment this morning. You might be imprisoned by pain. You might be imprisoned by hurt. You might be imprisoned by frustration or something this morning. But hey, God will go ahead and give you the strength that you need. Hey, then also, what was it about this prison? It was a place of accusation. Verses 19 through 21. Let me just read a couple verses here. We read them a while ago. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble the city." Hey, you know what? It was a place of accusation. Here they were. They were in God's will. They were doing God's will. They faced some misery. Now they're facing some accusation, if you will. You know what? Now they're facing people that were kind of for them at first because they were seeing some things. Now they go ahead and they go full circle on them. They turn them in. They take them to the magistrates, and they were falsely accused by selfish men who cared nothing about money, who cared nothing about that except for that dollar bill, if you will. They didn't care about the poor demon-possessed of whom they made their living. They were not above lying or scheming, if you will, to have revenge on those whom they felt wrong. The truth is, you know what? The truth is, these men were under conviction. They saw God coming in the Holy Spirit, doing some great. Lydia got saved, and they saw something different about these men. And let me tell you something, these wicked men, they were convicted. You know, when truth is being preached, you know, people get convicted. And when people get convicted, unless you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you know, they get a little bit ornery. They start going ahead and push and say, you know, hey, you know, we're going to fight the preacher for truth. We're going to fight the Sunday school teacher. Or I'm going to fight my mom and daddy because they're teaching me truth and they're teaching me biblical guidelines and so forth. And rebellion sets in. And that's exactly what I think happened to these men. You know, they saw these men were godly. They weren't there to do any harm. They were there to go ahead and help the city, if you will. But you know what? They faced some accusation. The bottom line is that nothing that these men said of Paul and Silas were true. Nothing. All Paul and Silas did was preach and follow the simple will of God. And they gave their best to serve the Lord, and still trouble came. I ask you a question. Have you been there? Sure. If you're in the middle of God's will, you know what? Yeah, you're going to face some accusation. You're trying to do what God wants you to do. You're going to face some misery and some trouble, if you will. And then what was it about this? It's also a place of arrest. You can read on there. You know, they got arrested. You know what? They were in the will of God, and yet they got arrested. You know what? If I was Paul and Silas at this time, God, you know, obviously God, Paul was and Silas, they were just great men of God. And sometimes when I especially read Paul from the time he got saved on, it just seems like, man, some misery and accusations and being stoned and being pushed around and this and that was just part of his Christian life. And you know what? And I don't know, man, sometimes I'd want to fight back. I'd want to just say, hey, bless God, you know what, I'd want to fight back, but, you know, I like the testimony of Paul and Silas, if you will. When the rest of the people, you know, it was a place of arrest, when the rest of the people heard the so-called accusations, of course, I talked about this, they too turned on them. They hauled them into court, they were beaten, they were scourged, they were thrown into prison, they were beaten like common criminals, if you will, all because they did right, all because they followed God's will, all because they preached the gospel, and all their problems got worse and worse. Hey, you know what? Ever seem like when you're in God's will, you know what? Yeah, you go through a little bit of struggle. It's, you know, you have some problems, and it seems minor at first. Think, I'm going to get through this, but you know what? And it seems like as you keep on going towards God's will and doing what, it just seems like it's getting heavier and heavier. Problems get heavier and heavier. Problems get worse and worse. And this is what was happening to Paul and Silas. But hold on. It was escalating. The problems were worsening, if you will, for them. Unfortunately, we're not finished with the story yet. The accommodations, the prison, wasn't all that desirable. They were handed over to the jailer. They were thrown into prison. They were their feet and hands were put were in stocks, if you will. This prison, of course, was not like our modern-day almost four-star resort motel. You know, you go to some prisons today, and I have visited prisons, and I've not been there personally because I'm a bad guy, okay? But I have had to go visit inmates and different things, and some of the things that they have, you know, talk about some of the things these prisons, if you will, especially state prisons have, you know, I go, wow. That's almost better than me. Cable TV and everything else in the world, if you will. But this prison wasn't near like what it is today. This prison wasn't even close. This prison was no doubt a deep, dark cell that was the dirtiest place you could imagine. They were probably chained, of course, in the midst of mud. Probably chained in the midst of filth and human waste. They didn't go ahead and take care of them prisons like they are today, if you will. It would, you know, today they'd cry for human rights. You know, this isn't right. And you know what? They're giving more rights to the prisoner, if you will. Simply, you know, anyways, we'd go on, and that'd be a trail I won't get off. So, but you know what? But they were in this dark, stinky, dingy prison, if you will. It would have been a dark, dank, dreary, dirty, disgusting, dangerous dungeon. That's all the adjectives I could come up with that began with D, but it was a very disgusting place. The only reason they were there was because they were faithful and they were obedient to doing the will of God. Yeah, you've been there, haven't you? Yeah, this preacher's been here, been there. I touch a lot of this, I know, in my preaching, if you will, but you know what? God never said, and I wish, but God never said the Christian life was going to be easy. He never did. And I think that's why he gives us examples in the Bible of great men of God that stood, that took a stand. When the oppression came, they weren't going to go ahead and buckle, and they weren't going to go ahead and bow down, if you will, to the world. You know what? They took a stand for what is right. You know, countless times you read the book of Acts, boy, you know, the book of Acts just encourages me. The power and the testimony of Paul and these other great men who stood in courtrooms and different things like that. But God never said that the Christian life was going to be easy. But you know what? God said that he would go ahead and go through your problems with you. He said, I would never leave you or forsake you. He said that you could come to me any single day, time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months of the year, 365 days a year. You can come to him any single day. Hey, you know what? There's no other God that you can go ahead and communicate with like the God Almighty. Amen. Buddha can't do that for you. Amen. You know, a statue can't do that for you. Islam can't do that for you, but we serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always there. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me a long life narrow. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. And you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I serve a risen Savior. Let me tell you something. We serve a living God today. And he's there. You can run to him every single day. And you know what? As I said a moment ago, I know the Christian life's not always going to be easy. But you got a God who will yoke up with you. Say, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Boy, the Bible's very clear about the fact that it won't be easy all the time. In Ecclesiastes 2:17, the Bible says, therefore, I hated life. This is a testimony of Solomon, if you will. Therefore, I hated life. Because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. In Ecclesiastes 2:23, the Bible says, for all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not to rest in the night. This is also vanity. There's some other truths in Scripture that teach the same thing. In Job 14:1, the Bible says, man is born of woman is few, that is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. Hey, God did say you will have some trouble. You know, the writers under inspiration of the Holy Spirit said that there will be days of trouble this side of heaven. The Bible says in Job 5:7, God says, yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Jesus told the disciples that trouble will be absolute certainty in your life. And just as he told his disciples that, we're going to still face, we too will face uncertain times in our life. The Bible says to his disciples here, I love this verse right here. Your boy, you ought to write it down. You ought to memorize it. You ought to hide it in your heart. In John 16:33, the Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Hey, my friend, you know what? You can have peace this morning in him. Not in the world, not in the junk of the world and worldly pleasures, but you can have peace this morning. And it might be Christian. Let me talk to Christians for a minute. Might be Christian. You have no peace simply because you're dabbling with things that you know you ought not. The Holy Spirit's poking at you. Boy, you ought to get it right. You ought not have any peace in your heart. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven, but you're living in some known sin. You ought not have any peace in your heart. You ought to thank God that the Holy Spirit is poking at you, and you be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and say, God, I need to get that right. I need to get it right. But maybe you're here today, you have no peace, friend, because you don't know Jesus as Savior. You don't know if you're to die today. You don't have the peace of knowing that if you're to die today, you'd go to heaven. My friend, you can know that you have a home in heaven. You don't have to sit here and say, I think I'm going. You can know it. The Bible says that these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Hey, 1 John 5:13, you know what? You can sit here. You can know you have eternal life. If you're here today, you say, I have no peace. Preacher, I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. But I want the peace of knowing that I can have eternal life. All you have to do is realize you're a sinner, realize there's a price on sin. The Bible says, God says, not this preacher, God says that that price is hell. But you know what? Jesus, he paid the price of our sin debt. He paid the price of all our hell, so to speak, on the cross. And all you have to do is simply open your heart and say, for God, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever is anybody. You're here today, you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Boy, before you leave church today, you ought to settle it. You ought to settle it so you can have peace in knowing I have a home in heaven. You can know that today. You can know that today. Boy, in him, the Bible says, that in me, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. My friend, Christian friend, boy, you're living your life for the Lord. You're, as far as you know, you're doing everything that's right. But you're in prison today, aren't you? You're hurting this morning, aren't you? You got some struggles this morning, don't you? Boy, I plead with you. I plead with you. Why don't you go ahead and bring it to the Lord later on? Why don't you go ahead and bring it to him, because in me, he might have peace. He'll give you this peace. He'll give you the strength that you need. If you've been saved very long, you probably notice that life can be difficult. But you know what? God can go ahead and give you the strength that you need. There are going to be some rough spots in the Christian life. There are going to be some hard times in the Christian life. There's going to be some trials and some hardships and some sufferings that sometimes will dominate your life. Sometimes they just kind of seem to take control. I urge you, don't go ahead and let it take control. Let God take control of you so that he can give you the strength to go ahead and get through the hardships. There'll be times like Paul and Silas that you will be giving into service. You're giving your all for God, so to speak. And then you're put into this situation. You know, if you're not careful, you could become critical at this time. God, I serve you. God, I get up, I read my Bible every day. God, I go ahead and I pray every day. God, I go to church. I'm serving you in some capacity. I'm raising my kids up for the Lord. I'm doing what you want me to do. God, now this. God, this just doesn't seem fair. You know, you be very careful. Listen to me. Listen to me. You know, and doesn't it seem like that's okay? I'm not sure. Do you know these yet, brother? I've got the red mic. I've got the red, or the plain mic. I'm sorry, the plain one. All right, I got to. Oh, good. We're doing good. I appreciate Brother Charlie being back there, learning the PA system, and so. But you know what? It seems like about time you take two or three steps forward. You know what I mean? You're going forward for God, and then you get knocked down, and you get back up because you know it's the right thing to do, and then you take another two or three steps forward, and it seems like you're making no progress. And you know what? If you're not careful, humanity's kind of humanity, you being human, kind of, you get discouraged. God, this doesn't seem fair. If you're not careful, you're going to allow the flesh to go ahead and dominate. But you know what you're going to need to do? Boy, you need to go ahead and every single day, God, I don't understand why cancer. I don't understand why sickness. I don't understand why I have no money. I don't understand why my car, every time I go 1 mile, I get it fixed and then it breaks down the next mile, whatever. I don't understand this. I don't know why problems in the home. I don't understand this. Man, God, it seems like I'm serving you. I'm doing it. I'm going forward. But man, I fall back, then I'm going forward. You know what? You just keep on getting back up. You just keep on serving the Lord. You know what? And what you need to do every single moment of the day, throughout the day, you got to get bow a knee in prayer. When you feel like you're the most vulnerable, when you feel like you're just about, I've had it. I can't take my prison anymore, and I've had it, God. I don't want to do this anymore. When you start feeling that, boy, I urge you at that moment, you drop to your knees and say, God, forgive me of my thoughts. Lord, you give me the strength. You give me the help I need, God. I'm thinking terribly. I'm thinking about just bailing. And God, I don't want that because I know the end result. But you know what? You need to go ahead and link up at that time through them every single day, you ought to. But boy, through them valleys of life, boy, you make sure you're holding on to God. You let go of yourself and you let go of your own thoughts and you let make sure that you're holding on to God. I'm back on this one right now, okay? All right? You just make sure. Hey, let's move right along here. It's not only a place of misery, but it's also a place of ministry. You know what? Paul looked at this. Paul and Silas looked at this as an opportunity. I love this. It's a place of personal ministry. You can read it in verse number 25. I'm going to read it because this is kind of our key verse. If you, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. It was a place of personal ministry. You know what? Some people would have gone ahead. Here I am in prison in this dark, dank, dungy place, stinks down here. Hey, this isn't fair. You know what? Paul and Silas could have done what others do, what other Christians do. Bail out and say, I'm done, God. Boy, you know what? Right here, you ought to take this scripture to heart. You ought to take this charge, if you will, to heart. When you're going through the valleys of your life, when you're in the imprisonment of life, look at what they did. At midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed. Probably, I wouldn't be surprised their spirit was wounded. And Paul and Silas, boy, they've seen so many good things that they knew who they could run to. And they went ahead and I could see them in that dark day prison, and they went ahead and cried out to God, I don't know what you're doing. But you know what? And as they started praying, boy, God started reviving their heart, so to speak. God started encouraging them. And I think this is the way it is. I don't know, but I think this is maybe how it happened. It all happened in the midnight hour. They started praying. And before you know it, God just kind of gave them a little bit of revival, so to speak. And they started singing, I've heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. I can hear them. As they were praying, they were also singing. Boy, they were overwhelmed by the Spirit of God, and they were singing in their prison. They made their prison a place of praise, if you will, and they were singing, it is well with my soul. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I don't hear them singing, woe is me. Oh, no, this is just too hard. I don't hear them singing that. No, the Bible says they were saying they made it a place of ministry. They made it a place of personal ministry. Sure, they were wounded, but they got back up. Sure, they were beaten and they were bruised, but what they do, they got back up. Boy, I like that kind of man. Boy, you know what? I like that kind of, I like, you know, I'll get a little personal here, but you know, I like hanging around men that, you know what, when the going gets tough, boy, they just keep on going. You know what, let me tell you something, and that fuels my fire. When I hang around some men, some preachers, some godly men, boy, you know what, they know that going to the world's not the way to go, but here's what they do. They know that, boy, you know what, I'm going through, I'm thinking of a preacher right now, called me the other day, going through it, just a difficult time. I said, you know what, the devil's mad. You're seeing folks saved, you're seeing some growth in the church, God's doing some big things for you. And you know what? If you weren't doing something right, the devil would leave you alone. It's true. You know what? But you're doing some things right. Instead of you, you know, and I'm encouraging you as your Christian brother. I said, let me help you if I can. Let me pray with you. I prayed with him over the phone. I said, you know what? Just keep on keeping on. You keep on pressing on the upward way. You keep on soul winning. You keep on preaching it. You keep on teaching it. You keep on raising your family. You keep on soul winning. You keep on doing what you're going to do. Hey, don't you go ahead and give up. God needs you in the army. Let me tell you something. When he called, let me just say this. When he called, I could tell he was disturbed. I knew he wasn't going to quit. But boy, by the end of that 10-minute conversation, he was up here. He was ready to go charge hell with a squirt gun. I said, yes. I said, that's what we need. Boy, you know, I want to be an encourager, but I also like them folks that encourage me. You know, I try not to go ahead and wear it on my sleeve. You know, things are terrible. I try not to do that. I'm a preacher. I'm human. I still can get down. But let me tell you something. I know some of them encouragers of the faith, if you will, that, you know, yes, I go to the Word of God. Yes, God. But you know what? There's also some men, if you will, that encourage me. I know I can call them. By the time that I'm done with them, boy, you know what? I know they've been through some dark times. But you know what? They got me just running. I want to serve God again. Boy, I like that. Boy, we ought to be encourager. You know what? Paul wasn't a discourager. He made the best out of a bad situation. Paul and Silas did. Their hour of need, they just started singing. They turned to the only one that was available. That's God Almighty. And I touched on that, who's available to you all the time, every single moment, if you will. It's also a place, moving right along, of profound ministry. If it was me in prison, I don't know if I'd have done this. Start singing and praising. I don't know. But can you just imagine once they started singing? You know, it was in prison, midnight. The other prisoners, you know, it's normal. I mean, at midnight, it's normal to be sleeping. I'm sure that at that point, the prison was very quiet. You could hear a pin, probably. Very stinky, but you know what? It's bedtime, so I'm going to bed, whether I'm in prison or in my own bed at home. I'm going to bed. But can you just imagine, all of a sudden, old Paul, old Silas, they started up that prayer meeting. You know, boy, they were crying out to God. And I don't think it was just this little, you know, oh God, oh, you know, no. I think they were begging God. I think, you know, you take it however you want, but I'm preaching it right now. And I think because these guys are preachers, they were crying out to God. And you know, before you knew it, revival took place. Before you knew it, you heard them singing. And before you knew it, all of a sudden, that prison, you know, people started, wait, what is going on? What in the world is happening? What's going on out there? What, you know, and all of a sudden there was all this activity. And of course, you know, as they were doing it, oh, I love this. Verse number 20 says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. They were singing and God went ahead and he moved in power. And the foundation started shaking. The prison started shaking. The doors opened up. The stocks fell off. Boy, I tell you, the power of God went ahead and fell in a mighty way. Let me just stop and say this. You know what? Why was it so profound? You know what? They were in a tough predicament. They were lied about. They were in prison. They were wounded. Yet they were singing praises to God. They were they turned their sighing into song. They can turn God can turn your trials into testimony. He can turn your pain into praise. He can take a profound heartache and transform it into a great help. And Paul and Silas didn't go ahead and shake their fists. And as a result, you know what? Because of their testimony had a profound effect upon the other jail inmates. And not just that. You read it here. Later on down in the chapter. As a result of their testimony, what happened? You know what? Of course, they were released. And you know, at that time, you know, others were freed. You know what I'm saying? You know what? You doing right when it's hard to do right. You living right when it's hard to live right. And this is a tough time for Paul and Silas. You know, from a human standpoint, it's tough. They could have just said, God, this is, I'm in your will. This is happening. But you see what happened? Because of their positive testimony for the Lord, they had a positive effect on the others. because of their testimony for the Lord, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit because of time. You know what? The jailer, you know what? They could have ran out and left. And if that had resulted, the jailer would have been dead anyways. And you know what? He was just going to take care of it anyway. You know what? I'm gone. The prisoners are free. You know what? And just the time he was going to go ahead and kill himself, Paul says, no, 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 don't harm yourself. And as a result, the jailer and his house got saved. Listen, your testimony is a very powerful thing that you have. You know what? Your testimony ought to speak volumes for Christ. Yeah? I'm going to use a plain one again. You're down in the valley. You're down in the... to the Savior. You still need to keep on praising him through the dark times, because let me tell you something. People are watching. When praises started singing, I can just imagine what in the world happened to this prison. It became a place of revival. The foundation started shaking, boy, a miraculous victory, if you will. And look at all the results that took place. People were freed. The jailer got saved. Hey, you know what? Your testimony is very, very important. You know what? Your testimony is important to those in your household. Very important. You know, mom and dad, I know I'm a mom. I'm not a mom. I'm a dad. Take that off the tape. Well, I don't know. Anyways, I'm a parent, that's what I meant to say. I know all of us who are ever in leadership, it doesn't matter whether you're a parent or Sunday school, whatever leadership, you know what? We all face pressures. We all face trials. We all face some imprisonments of life. But you know, let me put it into the home situation. You know, as a parent, you know what? You need to be very careful on how you respond to adversity. You know, especially, you know, here you are, you're a godly parent, you're in church when the doors are open, you're in your place, you're doing what God wants you to do. As far as you know, you're in the will of God, and then adversity comes. You need to be very, very careful how you respond. You know, you can respond, well, there's no money, and then you can start yelling and screaming at each other. And all the while, you're kind of hurting your marriage, and you're maybe doing things, and you're saying things maybe that you never thought in the world you'd say. You've got your children watching. What I'm trying to say is your testimony can have an effect upon those that follow you. Paul and Silas' testimony had a huge effect, a positive effect, if you will. And then also, it was not just a place of ministry, it was a place of majesty. You can read these scriptures, jot them down later on, if you will, but in 26 through 33, you can see how they responded in this difficulty of life. They saw God's power. God moved in power. Their chains, as we mentioned a moment ago, they fell off. And they went ahead and they were praising the Lord, and things all of a sudden looked better. And then you see in 27 through 33, we see the majesty of this providence. And this is where I'm going to close. Why did God allow these men to go into prison? They were doing God's will. Why? Why did God allow these men? Why did it happen? All they did was serve the Lord. I wonder, could it have been that God allowed Paul and Silas to be beaten, thrown in prison, chained just so that he might use them in Philippi? Could that be why God allowed it? Is it possible that God allowed them to endure all that pain and suffering just so that he could get the glory? He could get the glory in Philippi? Is it possible that he sent them from prison just to save the jailer and his family? Could it be? You know, it might be that you're imprisoned in that pain and that area of suffering for a little while. By the way, it is a little while. You're on this side of heaven, and you maybe deal with pain and suffering for a lifetime. It's still a little while because this world is not our home. We're just passing through. One day, you know what? We will have victory in heaven. Amen. But listen to me. Could it be that it was to see the jailer and his family saved? If you look at the outcome of this event, we see that God used this event to save the jailer. We see them testifying to the city officials in 35 through 39. We see them encouraging other Christians to teach them that God is greater than any prison or problem that they'll ever face. And I've used this. I haven't brought up much, but you know what? Why? I wonder why. You know, and I asked God why my wife had cancer a few years back. Why did I have that prison? And I still have yet to preach a whole message on it. Preachers have asked me to put a message together, and it's kind of a testimonial thing, and there's a lot to it, but haven't yet really. I've preached parts of it here, if you will, but I not yet preached the whole thing, if you will. But anyways, but I've said this before. When we were going through it as a family, I did ask God, I don't understand. And I went through the same things that Paul and Silas went through. That they could have said, I'm serving you, God. This is happening. I'm doing your will. All of this, I'm serving you, God. And this has happened. I don't get it. God, I just don't get it. I happen to think that he put us, my wife, of course, had the brunt of it, but I, as far as the emotional end, I dealt with it in different ways. But let me tell you something. As a result, I've looked at illness, and I've looked at cancer, and I've looked at all of that. I've always ministered to them, but it's a whole different picture now. Altogether different. When I see the handicapped, when I see the maimed, when I see the blind, the deaf, the cancer victims, all these different things, you know what? It's a whole lot different. I can go ahead and see, it could be some ungodly, wicked Hollywood figure, and if they got cancer, it still affects my heart. It still does. It could be some crooked politician that is sick and ill, and you know what? It's still I'm not glorying the wickedness, but it still affects my heart because I know what cancer does. I've seen it. And I got thinking, one particular cancer victim that died of throat cancer, back a 30-year-old man. My wife and I was called to his bedside in Portland Hospital, Portland, Maine. 30-year-old man, wife and a child, his teenage boy was just distraught. Tried to talk to him outside the hall, and he just, I don't know where he is today. I don't know. He just couldn't take it. 30-some-odd-year-old man, his wife, was going to soon be a widow, no doubt. But you know, I went to this bedside. My wife and I went to this bedside of Paul, that was his name. Sat beside him. I said, Paul, you know, he's still talking, and breathing was a little more sparse, but he's still talking. I said, Paul, listen to me. I said, I was in a few days before, and there was a big gathering there. It just wasn't going to happen that particular day, but my wife and I went in next, and I introduced him, my wife to him, if you will. And I said, my wife's a cancer survivor. I knew in my heart of hearts probably it was a little more difficult for him, but my wife's a cancer, and my wife had some encouraging words, but then it went back to me. I said, Paul, if you'd have died today, do you know for sure? He said, I don't know, preacher. But within 10 minutes, you know, he sweetly got saved. See, I look at cancer totally different. Could it be that we went through Philippi, a whole different direction, God's will? It was God's will, that prison experience, if you will. Could it be that we went through that prison experience because of him? Could it be so that I could have a bigger heart? You know, God, I was not pastor of Faith Baptist Church, but I could go ahead and look at things in a whole different perspective as far as illness and as far as handy, all of that. Could it be? I think so. You see, there's a reason. You may not always know it, but there's a reason why you have your prison experience. And you know what? Maybe you don't understand it right now, but instead of shaking your fist at God, why don't you go ahead and just trust him? Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. With all of your heart, thine heart. and lean not to thine own understanding. You see, when we get in trouble, it's when we fail to go ahead and trust him with all, we start leading into our, well, God, I don't think you quite understand this one, so my turn. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Well, I ask you, and I'm done. Can you make that prison experience? Maybe you're not going through it right now, but you will. All of us will go through a prison, a dark time. But can you trust God enough to go ahead and make it a prison of praise, a prison of testimony, a good testimony for the Lord? Will you? Will you take that hardship and glorify God? I know it's not always easy, humanly speaking, but that, you know what? That's where you got to push the flesh aside and walk in the Spirit, the Bible says. Can you do that? Will you be godly enough, if you will, to rise up and say, you know what? I'm going to use this prison as a ministry and not a hindrance. I'm going to use it to help and not hinder. I'm going to use it to help my family and not hinder my family. I'm going to use it to help my church and not my church, and not hinder it. I'm going to use it to help my Sunday school class and not hinder my Sunday school class. I'm going to use it to help me. I'm going to use it to help spread the gospel to all the world, and I'm going to use it to help God do his work here on earth instead of hinder it. See, we hinder it by saying, God, no, you don't understand. That's where we hinder it. Don't. We see good lesson here by Paul and Silas. They didn't use their prison experience to make them bitter. You know what? It made them better. It made him better. As a result, people got saved and lives were transformed. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. God, I tried to be brief.